The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
This morning, I want to be able to share with the mothers in here. First of all, if you're a young mother, I want you to know, I believe you're doing a great job. Because you're here. You have a desire to hear the Word of God and know what God says about raising your children. And I want you to be able to relax in the thing that God has called you to. Sometimes we get a little too intense with life. This morning, I just want you to relax a little bit. Enjoy this place. Enjoy this day. Enjoy your children. Enjoy them. And men, I'm going to talk to you just a moment here. Make it a special day for your wife. You know, I don't know what you're used to doing, but do everything. Do whatever it takes. It's really important. Because life is hectic. John Hagee wrote a story in his book, How to Overcome Worry. He talked about a woman, her name was Mrs. Monroe, and she lived in Maryland. And Mrs. Monroe was just a typical mother, except for the fact that she had 8 children. And one day, she came home, and her children, 5 of her children, were gathered in the living room, and they were sitting around in a circle. And she was busy, so she put her groceries down and started putting some things away. And then finally she got around to going in to see what her children were doing. And when she walked over, what she saw horrified her. There was 5 beautiful little skunks in a circle that her children were playing with. Well, she freaked out. And she said, "Run, children!" And they each one picked up a skunk and ran. Well, that freaked her out even more, and she just started yelling, screaming at the top of her lungs, and that freaked the children out, so they squeezed the skunks. Skunks don't like to be squeezed. She created a lot of problems by freaking out, huh? So I just want to say to you this morning, just relax, because you know, if we get a little too intense, sometimes it just makes life stink a lot. Yes, sir. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you. I want to encourage you this morning. I've taken the word mom, and made an acrostic out of it. So the first word that we're going to talk about is a mother should motivate. Now, one of the things about this the scripture, Proverbs 31:28, it says that a virtuous woman, that's the passage there in Psalms, Proverbs 31, it's titled The Virtuous Woman, and it says that her children will rise up and call her blessed. Amen. Now, I'm not going to ask for you to raise your hands, but I would guess that every mother in here would like to hear that from their children. You know, that she is a blessed woman and that they appreciate her. You know, this morning, Marshall and Owen spent the night with us, as they usually do on Saturday night. We always get up and go over to my mom's house, and mom has cinnamon rolls prepared for us. They really look forward to that. They love it. But Owen, and I've never seen him do this before, but Owen had a suit that he wanted to wear, suit coat. He had a little bow tie, and he wanted me to comb his hair, and he wanted to be dressed up, and he said, I want to dress up for my mommy. Isn't that neat? That, you know, he's not going to say, "You're blessed, Mom," but that's exactly what he just did. Blessed her. So that's awesome when I think about things like that. And I know that part of that is because my daughter, Bethany, motivates her children to love the Lord. She is, and I hope that she gets the podcast and listens to this, because she's an incredible mother. But sometimes she doesn't feel like she's accomplishing anything. But I can tell each and every one of you, if you have little children in your house, the most important thing for you is just be consistent, persistent in what you do with them. It may seem like they're not hearing anything that you say, but one day you're going to recognize that all that effort that you put into training and raising them up was worth it, because they were soaking that stuff in. They're hearing it. I'm truly a blessed man because I have several women in my life that I believe their children rise up and call them blessed. And first of all, my mother, I can say that she's an awesome woman. I love her so much. And I can say, you're a blessed woman. And my wife, her children call her blessed. Now, when they were growing up, they called her other things. But that's the nature. Parents realize, you know, your children aren't always going to be happy with you. It's not a friendship thing here. You know, yeah, I'm not saying you can't be friends with your kids. Yeah. But there's a line that you should never cross. And that is being friends with your children to the point that you allow them to do whatever they want to do, rather than what is good and what is right for them. The other women is my daughter Bethany. I've already mentioned her. My daughter Jessica. Now, of course, now in our life is our daughter-in-law, Tricia, and our beautiful little grandbaby, Emberly. And I know Emberly's going to rise up and call her blessed. You can just see it now. You know, as young as she is, you can see that when mommy's holding her, it's just different. You know, it's in their eyes, it's in their face. What a blessing. I just want to count these blessings this morning in front of all of you, because I want you to know just how blessed we really are. I believe this congregation is blessed. So let's talk about motivate. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is not a promise that your children are always going to do the right thing. This is a promise that you have a responsibility to teach them and train them the right thing, the right way. This says that if you will do that, it will always be in their thoughts and in their mind. They will always know right from wrong. It doesn't mean they're always going to choose right and wrong. My parents, my mother in particular, raised us in the right way, in a godly Christian home. When I became a teenager, I just chose to go my own way. It was not her fault. We have free will. And your children have a free will. But I can tell you this, because of the influence of my parents, I came back to the truth. I found my way back, not only to their God, but to my God. Come on, sir. Amen. Amen? And that's what we're looking for. That's what I want you to train your God, your children to know your God. But one day, what you really want them to do is find out that he's their God. Because their God can do anything in their life. Their God. Now, your God does all kinds of things for you. But their God can move mountains in their life. And that's what we want. We want them to embrace that. The Hebrew word here, train, has a very unique meaning. It means to train. The root word means to narrow. And if you think about it from a Christian perspective, from a biblical perspective, I believe that's exactly what we're supposed to do, is narrow our children's thinking to the Word of God. Now, we as believers, as Christians, get a lot of flack from the world because we're narrow-minded, because we believe the Word. But let me tell you something. I am more open-minded than most of those people that call me narrow-minded. I'm open always to the truth, whether it comes from the Word of God, as long as it lines up with the Word of God, I'm open to that. And most believers are. However, the world wants to label us as narrow-minded because they want the freedom to do whatever they want to do with no consequences. And it doesn't work that way. Our God is an awesome, mighty God, and He loves us so much He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, for the world, to die for the sins of the world. But if you reject that, there's consequences. And you have to pay the price eventually if you reject it. That's why we need to train up our children in the way they should go, so that they'll know the truth and be able for themselves to make the decision. Listen, I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, my five-year-old needs to decide for himself whether he wants to go to church or not. What kind of garbage is that? You know where that comes from? That comes straight from it comes straight from hell, but it also comes from humanism. There's nothing to do with Christianity. How many of you feel like your five-year-old, if he wants to go play in the middle of the road, should have the freedom to do that? No one's going to raise their hand, because you know that that's just, it doesn't make any sense. There's no logic in that. The same is with training your children up. You have the responsibility to train them up and teach them. Mothers, I just want to encourage you this morning. Train them up in the way they should go. Take time to spend with them. Teach them Bible stories and songs, and talk to them about the living God that you serve. I know it's easy to get frustrated and overwhelmed, but just take some time for your children. The Bible actually tells us that we are to narrow our thinking. So when somebody says that I'm narrow-minded, I wear that as a badge. Because Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Romans 12, 2 says this, and do not be conformed to the world. Believers, we cannot be conformed to this world. Separate from the world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of our Heavenly Father, of God. Don't let the world transform you. Let the Word of God transform your mind. Because the world wants you to conform, wants to shape you and mold you in their image. But God wants to shape and mold us in the image of Christ. So in order to overcome, in order to motivate our children, the first thing we have to do is be transformed by the Word of God ourselves. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 through 7. I was going to have you go ahead and open your Bibles and look there, because it's really an important scripture. It's an Old Testament scripture. But Moses is telling people that this is what you need to do with your children. Deuteronomy 6, 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. And then he goes on to say, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your way, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. They shall be, first of all, they have to be in your heart. And then you have to transfer them to your children on a daily basis. Take every opportunity to motivate and train your children in the Word of God. Suzanne Wesley was the mother of John and Charles Wesley. Of course, they established the Methodist organization, Methodist Church, and I got to tell you, back then, the Methodist Church is nothing like it is today, and I won't say much more about that. But it was a powerful move of God. John Wesley was a powerful man. At the age of 70, he delivered a gospel message of salvation to 32,000 people. And he did it without a microphone. They didn't have microphones in the day. And everywhere he traveled, it seemed like revival would break out. But here's the thing. Suzanne Wesley was his mother. And she had a list of principles. She was the queen of organization. Next to my wife. But she had things, she had time set aside for every one of her children. And she prayed with her children every day. And here's something that she did, because I believe it is really important. She set aside, she had 10 children that she raised. She actually had 19, and nine of them died at childbirth. She had 10 children that she raised, and she would spend 1 hour, she set aside 1 hour a month with 10 children and all the duties that they had back then with each child, spend special time with that child. She made that child seem very, to them, feel very, very special. I think that's incredible. It's awesome. You know, there's some people that can just make you feel that way. Mothers, this is something you need to work on, because your children need to know that you're special. That they're special. That's what I mean. And the reason I said that is because I always thought about Tammy's family. Her mother had 10 also. And if you would ask each one of them, they would each one tell you that they were their mother's favorite. Now, how do you do that with 10 children? You give each one of them some special time and attention. That's the only way you can do that. And she did. I just want to motivate you this morning to recognize that there's something here. So motivate. The second thing I want to share with you, remember, we're using mom here. Mom, you're going to motivate. The second thing, oscillate. You might say, what are you talking about, Pastor? A mother's going to oscillate. I don't mean vacillate. I mean oscillate. Oscillate, and the reason I chose that word is because when you have an oscillating fan, it moves back and forth, doesn't it? It moves back and forth. And as a mother, you have to be willing and able to be flexible and move back and forth. Proverbs 31:28 says, her children will rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. And when I think about this principle of being able to move back and forth, I guess what I'm talking about, there's an old Jewish proverb that says, you pull your children to you with your right hand and you push them away with your left. And basically what that principle, what they're talking about is that you pull your children in, but you also must have enough flexibility to release them and let them move out away from you. You help them when it's needed, and you release them when they need that, when they need the freedom to be released. And only a mother can really judge that. You know, We fathers, we don't fit into that category very well. Most of the time, I let my grandsons do all kinds of things that Graham would never let them do, and Mom would never let them do, like driving my truck. You know, we drive from my house over to my mom's house. Yes, it's on the road. I just incriminated myself, I know. Graham would never allow that. You know, we fathers, we just don't have a real good gauge of what's good and safe and all that. But moms do. And mothers, I just want to encourage you this morning. Pull them close to you. Love them. Nurture them. Care for them. But push them away. Release them. Let them realize that they have the ability. You're teaching them and training them. Listen, we're raising these children not to continue to be children all their life, but to be productive adults in this society and that we live in this community that we live in. Now, here's the crazy thing. We live in a society where children are worshipped. And I'm sorry to say, but that is a reality. Children are, you know, the pendulum has swung clear to the other side. There was a day when children, my mom would tell you that children were to be seen and not heard. That's wrong, you know. That we don't want that kind of attitude. But now it's swung so far to the other side of the pendulum that children are the only ones that are heard. You know, if you're having a conversation with another adult, we now allow our children to just run up and interrupt us. For the most part, now I'm not saying everybody does. That was an unheard of thing a couple generations ago. They had to have some respect for the elders. Not only that, but we build our whole lives on our children, making sure that our children's needs and desires and whims are all met. Now, I am very thankful to say in this church, I believe that overall this body has a real good handle on that. You realize that, you know, yes, you're going to love your children. You're going to do things for them. But we also make them responsible for chores and doing things. One of the things that Tammy and I learned a long time ago was that we needed to have a list of chores for our kids to do. And like I said, she is quite an organizer. And she would come up with chores for the kids to do. And sometimes we connected that to allowance so that they got a reward for it. Some of the things in our household were just expected. They don't need to be paid for everything. We all pull together as a family to do things. And I got to tell you, we didn't just happen onto these things. We listened to godly direction. We would listen to Focus on the Family. We'd listen to Family Life with Dennis Rainey, Kevin Lehman, Leslie Perot, different ministries that taught young parents how to deal with their children. And I want to encourage you, find some people, some ministries that's their main focus. Get some books. Get CDs. Get teachings. Get things that will help you to understand and know how to establish some of these things that I'm talking to you this morning. I can't preach on this stuff all the time, but there are ministries out there that's all they do is deal with those things. Thank God for those ministries. I appreciate it. And let me tell you something. Discipline is a very important part of the oscillating back and forth from love to proper discipline, so that our children will know that, yes, we love them, but we expect certain things from them. Proverbs 23:13 says, "You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell." Wow. Beat him with a rod. Now, I'm not advocating you go home and beat your children, although some of them may need it. What I am advocating is proper discipline. And many times, proper discipline is not necessarily a spanking. You know, we live in this technological age where, you know, iPads and iPhones and all these things, kids have all that kind of stuff. You know, a good discipline sometimes is just taking all that stuff away from them.
That's right.
Maybe they'll go outside and play some. You know, be creative, is what I'm saying. But I'm not opposed to spanking some little guys behind when it's needed. You don't beat them, you don't slap them, you don't abuse them. You do it exactly the way God created them. He gave them a nice, soft, cushy behind to smack. Do it properly. How many of you remember the teen they titled the Affluenza Teen? Anybody remember that story? Just a few years ago. Yeah? This guy's name was Ethan Couch. And Ethan was a teenager that was just absolutely out of control. Ethan got drunk one night, was high on drugs, and had an accident and killed 4 people. The attorneys used the fact that he came from a very affluent family, a very wealthy family. They used that as a defense, saying that he was a spoiled brat and it wasn't his fault that he was out of control. And they titled him the Affluenza Teen. And he actually spent very little time in prison because of that. He went to a treatment center, and he got out. And when he got out, he was supposed to be going to his parole officer, and he couldn't even do that. He ended up running, leaving the States. I think he ended up in Mexico or someplace, was found. And guess who was with him? Mommy. The problem from the very beginning, who allowed him to get away with anything and everything his whole life. And now he's spending some time in prison. I don't know if he'll ever learn anything. Who knows? But just think what Mom could have done if she would have had proper direction and discipline for him when he was younger. We want our children to take responsibility for their own actions. Others, you have a huge responsibility in that. And I believe you can do it. Last M is magnanimous, generous, forgiving, especially toward a rival or someone less powerful than himself. A very generous person. Proverbs 31:20 says, "She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy." Awesome. I encourage you mothers to set an example for your children. Do those kind of things that, you know, give above and beyond. Go that second mile for people. When I was growing up, we would bring kids home from time to time that they were just less fortunate than we were. And my mom would treat them like she was one of her kids. She'd cook them meals. She would wash their clothes. She would pack lunches for them if we were going to school. She gave to these people. She set an example for us. My wife is the same way. But my son-in-law, Brady, said that she buys things just so she can give them away. It's true. She does. If she gets a good deal on something, she'll buy more than one so that she can give them to somebody else. And she trained our children that way, to have that kind of generous heart. I just want to encourage you this morning that that's exactly what you can do with your children. Proverbs 22:9 says, "He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor." And we know that the Word of God is full of encouragements to be generous, and God will bless you for your generosity. I'm going to end this message this morning with a video. In just a moment. Tina, are you ready with that? Okay. All right. Notice you want to come on up as soon as the video is done. Can we kill the lights up here? Yeah, go ahead. Go back. Start it over. I wasn't quite ready for it. That's all right. All right.
Hey, babe, how was your day?
Isn't that awesome? I think that's the way we need to try to look at things. They seem like a frustrating day. What are we doing to touch our children? Mothers, I'm going to ask you all to stand because I just want to pray a blessing over you this morning. Everybody bow your head. Father God, there's so many mothers in here this morning. Some of them, their children's grown and have grandchildren. Some of them are just empty nesters right now. Some of them have young children and babies, toddlers. God, I just thank you for this blessed group of mothers in here. For the things that they have done in the past, for their desire and their effort to train up their children in the way they should go, and for their desire for the future to make an impact, to touch the lives of children and grandchildren. Father, this morning, your blessing falls up on these mothers. I praise you. I thank you. I give you glory and honor, Father, that you will go with them in this day. Make it a special day for them. Help us to make it a special day for them. That they will recognize that their children rise up and call them blessed. We give you glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.